Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Oh, show, Clint. I love the show, man.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. It is Thirsty Thursday playoff edition, and we are live here at the Great Buffalo Wild Wings here in Cypress. Make your way on out here. We'll be here from 2 to 6. There we go. My man right there in front of us, baby. He's on his second one. He's on his second beer, baby. There we go. There we go. He's having a good time right there. I didn't think I was going to have a drink till I looked over here at my man's cup right there, and I feel like I might have to.
Yeah, you saw that dirty water, didn't you?
I might have to jump in. I'm about to jump in a little something myself right now. But get on out here, man.
Got that rally rag going?
Till 6? No, he got no. He did not. He got a swarm rag is what he got. Get out. It's not a rally rag. We've decided. Rally is baseball.
But we can use rag. I got it.
No, it's a swarm towel, damn it.
See how hard it is to say. Just
no,
rag.
It's not.
Just,
no,
you,
it's
you,
not.
You're a rag guy.
No, it's
you're
not.
You're a rag guy.
No, you're trying to.
Just telling you, you're a rag
guy. You're trying
guy.
To real
always
nasty
have been. That's why
here.
I just rolled off your tongue. When you walked right by, you just thought rag.
Coming up next here, we are here and you have a chance to hang out with us. Not only that, but you can win a couple of prizes. Get some swag gear. You can get you a swarm towel. You can get you a koozie as well. And all you got to do is enter your name in our raffle box. You can see it right there when you walk in. And you get a chance to win an autograph helmet, game-size helmet from Derek Stingley Jr. and an autograph football from Tank Dell. All of that here. Other prizes as well. So get on out here. Like I said, we'll be here till 6. And you know the rules. If you got here at 2, you get to put your name in every hour that you stay. So if you got here at 2, you get to put your name in at 3 again. You put your name in at 4, then 5. And if you come in here at 4 or you come in here at 5 and you try to put your name in there 16 times, I will personally disqualify your ass from being able to win any of these things. Now play with some integrity, please, is what we're trying to do here. But no, come on out and have a good time here with us. I do want to pass across some news. And as I said, when we get the full injury report, we will let you know, but reports are out at least for the Chargers. The Chargers are listing running back J.K. Dobbins with an ankle issue. Quentin Johnston, who didn't practice yesterday, they are both listed as questionable for Saturday's playoff game against Houston. So those are two big ones to watch right there. Obviously, this team is different when J.K. Dobbins is out, when they don't have him.
Yep.
To go along with Gus Edwards, that 1-2 punch is big. And then Quentin Johnston, they don't have a lot of weapons to begin with, and Quentin doesn't scare you, really. He has a problem dropping the football at times this year, but he is coming on. He had 158 yards on 12 or 13 catches last week, so he's played well of late. So that's a big one if he's unable to go, because if it's just McConkey out there, That could obviously make life easier for the Texans. So those are injury things to watch. By the way, also, Clint, Josh Palmer, he is out. He is not going to play in this game with a foot issue, so that also helps the Texans secondary.
Yeah, the Chargers got some problems, man. Look, I like McConkey. There's no doubt about it. Like I said, he finds a way early in the game. I'd be shocked if in the first quarter he doesn't have about 35 yards.
Why they name that kid Lad and they know his last name's McConkey?
Well, I mean, I kind of like it. I think it flows.
It does flow.
But I think it's pretty solid.
Julius would have worked or something like something. Julian Ladd McConkie. I mean, that's just...
Well, I like him. I think he is a great really player good. Already. He's going to continue to be great, right? But boy, they're just overall skilled players offensively are taking a beating now. Josh Palmer is the real deal. Josh Palmer is a great number three receiver in this league. He is a bigger bodied guy. That just, it seems like every time I watch the Chargers, he's making a big time game changing type play. Quentin Johnston, definitely at the very least, their big speed guy with size that can take the top off the defense. And J.K. Dobbins, as you mentioned, this is just a different team when J.K. Dobbins is healthy and they actually got a real 1-2 punch. So, I would expect these guys to play if they're not already, you know, if they're not already designated as outs. But, boy, they could be in real trouble down the stretch here. Quentin Johnston is one of those guys that, you know, we've talked a lot this year about the corner opposite, whoever it may be, the corner opposite of Derek Stingley, which in this game, I think, with Jeff Okuda being healthy, I think there's a chance we see some Jeff Okuda outside. Quentin Johnston's a guy that can damn sure run by some folks. And so that's, you know, kind of what he brings to the table. And without him, I don't know if they have that guy that can threaten deep and take the top off the coverage, especially versus a number two corner. So him being healthy will be, or him being injured and not 100% could potentially hurt the Chargers in a big way.
Things this is, I would say, at the very least, if they don't go, they are clearly not 100%.
Yeah.
Right, where they haven't. They didn't practice, at least Johnston didn't practice yesterday.
So as you mentioned yesterday, they do have DJ Chark. He had a big game, I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago. I didn't even know DJ Chark had left. I thought he was still in, what was he, Jacksonville?
I think he's been on multiple teams
since then, right? But I just hadn't seen that name or heard that name, and all of a sudden, boom, I look up and the Chargers are rolling, I think it's the Raiders, and he's catching a touchdown, and I'm thinking, is that DJ Chark? Well, it is. So he can go. They do have some other guys that can go, but obviously their numbers, you know, you're talking about three of their top targets right here being
their offensive threats,
out or injured.
Yeah, Palmer, Dobbins, and Johnston. Yeah, those are big keys for them. All right. I was listening because I'm telling you, this is the thing that keeps me nervous and concerned about my guarantee. This is the number one thing in this game. And Nick Caserio, when he was on with Payne and Pendergast, spoke to it. He was talking about Titus, and then he moved into Blake Fisher. This is what he had to say about his young rookie, now right tackle.
Yeah, no, Blake's handled himself well. We felt, and Lee talked about this even going back to last spring, like when we drafted Blake, you know, we felt like we were getting, we wanted another young tackle, get another tackle in a program, because ultimately you probably need three or maybe four tackles. If you're going four deep, you know, that it's probably some extenuating circumstances, but you're probably going to need three tackles during the course of the year. You know, Blake's gone in there and done a pretty good job. He's like most players. He's had some good plays. He's had some other plays that he can certainly fix. I think Blake is an example of a young player that has gotten experience, that has played well with his opportunities, that hopefully will have a chance to improve in the offseason. But there's a reason that we drafted him, because we felt he can go out there and play.
All right, that's him talking about Blake Fisher, and I'm telling you right now, Clint, that is the number one concern for me, that I won't have a chance to be called show again. Blake Fisher is the number one thing for me, and I am highly concerned about Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Bud Dupree, those guys over there one-on-one against him. In his time, he hasn't, like, I watched him against George Karloftis when they played the Chiefs, and George Karloftis gave him hell and beat him multiple times. And he held. He had some issues going alone one-on-one with them. And these guys are better than him, especially when they get going. That is my biggest concern. I was so much so to myself, and I know this is crazy talk almost, I was so much to myself, like, if Shaq Mason is healthy – I could have entertained the conversation of, hey man, let's maybe slide Titus back out here to right tackle. Like I could have entertained the thought, let me move Juice back over to left and put Titus over. It to me is a major concern, because I think those guys are the type of guys that have the ability to just wreck a game and just screw up everything that you're trying to do. And then in the playoffs, Blake Fisher, I don't know, he's really encountered countered pass rushers like that. So to me, that's the thing that keeps me nervous in this game
I think you should be nervous. Whether it's Blake Fisher or not, I think you should be nervous. But here's the deal. If they wreck the game, that's on Bobby Slug. It's not on Blake Fisher. Right? I mean, to your point, is if they're wearing Blake Fisher out, then you've got to get help. Like he better be wearing Blake Fisher and Dalton Schultz, or Blake Fisher and Cade Stover, or whoever it may be.
Well, he gonna wear out Blake Fisher and Dalton Schultz.
We're getting into bigger concerns, right? Is this is where you need Dalton Schultz to bow his neck a little bit and be willing to try to break some ribs in pass protection? Like you need him to, in order to stay on the field. You need him to be able to help in those moments. And if he can't, then you're looking at Irv Smith and you're looking at Cade Stover having to be the guy. Now, there ain't no doubt about it. Irv Smith will do it. There's no doubt about that. But you lose whatever your $12 million tight end in the pass game, right? There's no doubt about it. Irv Smith and Cade Stover are better in the run block game. But if you pull Dalton Schultz off, you lose again. You're losing your $12 million tight end. And so you're basically red flagging the opponent every time you want to, you know, you want to run it or you need to help in pass protection. So you're right. The Blake Fisher matchup with any of their edge rushers is a big time matchup in this game. But Bobby Slowick better not get caught with his pants down. He better have a plan for that, because it don't matter. I don't care who we're watching, what game you're watching. When you go up there and you watch offensive coordinators just continue to run tackles out there by themselves, put them on an island, and let a defensive end wreck the game. Or in critical situations, you look up and T.J. Watt has a young tackle and no help in critical situations. That is fireable offenses in football.
No, I,
and damn sure in pro football, it's on Bobby Slowick.
No, I'm with you on that. I think right off the bat, like I don't even think you wrist and see. Hey man, let me see how he holds up. No, right off the bat, it's got to be chips. It's got to be a lot of everything to help him, because like I'd say to you, who would you say is the best offensive coach in football right now? I'm talking about year right now. If you can bring in one top, I think many people would probably say Andy, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Andy's the best offensive mind. You talking about head coach? I would say Andy.
He allowed these two jokers to, like, not two, four of them. They hit Patrick Mahomes 10, 12 times and sacked him three or four times in a game they played, and just wouldn't help, wouldn't do anything. And so it's, hell, if Andy can do it, then we know Bobby's capable. And, hell, we've seen Bobby do it. We know Bobby's capable of doing it. And so, you want to run your stuff. You want to run your stuff. But in this game, I'm with you. You can't even allow it. You can't, I mean, you from the start, like it's like, hey, man, CJ, you're going to have four in the route. Or you're going to have a one late. Like, I have no concern. I know Laramie gets on a lot of people's nerves. I don't have a concern on Laramie Tunzel on the other side. When it comes to this, pass blocking, I think Laramie Tunzel will hold up. It's the other side. The other side is what makes me nervous and concerned with things. So that to me is, as you said, man, you're right off the bat. You can't even let Blake Fisher get into a place where he gets in trouble.
Yeah, look, if Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes are doing it, I'm going to assume they're working something. They got a chance to make some noise. I trust those guys at a whole different level.
Never happened.
If Bobby Slowick is doing it, I'm not real confident in what we're trying to do on the backside of it. Especially if you're asking a quarterback that struggled all year long to find those answers. So Bobby better not do it. I understand that there's really good teams in this league. Hell, I don't know for a fact how many times they do it, but you look at how Joe Burrow gets the hell beat out of him every year. I imagine they make it a habit of leaving guys on islands. That ain't who we are. We shouldn't even be thinking on that same level. We got to protect this dude and let him get comfortable in the pocket.
Yeah, no, I'm with that with you. All right. Also, by the way, wanted to keep it a little note here. Derwin James, guy that they're going to have to look at. He is the AFC Defensive Player of the Month, and he is another X factor in this game on how they're going to use him. That is something too. That is a weapon. He is probably going to be an All Pro again, and
Usually he is really good at covering tight ends. I wonder if they feel like they have to use him that way, being the, as you said, Dalton Schultz is struggling to run away from linebackers, and I'm sure maybe they see that. But they use him on the blitz. He's got almost 6 sacks this year, 5.5 sacks. They use him on the blitz. They do a lot. Derwin James clearly has got to be somebody I know Bobby's paying attention to, the Texans are paying attention to. He is one of those X factors of guys, very Jalen Petrie-like, except probably a bit better in the games. So that is a big person to watch to see how they deploy him in this.
Well,
in this game.
it is an absolute key. But Ron, I'll argue that he makes it easier, right? Because because he takes, like, you don't even play around with it. Like, there's certain teams and certain players that you go, we'll protect it over here, and we'll have an answer for this player if he blitzes. He's a good little blitzer. You know, we'll have an answer for number 23 when he's near the line of scrimmage. When you're dealing with a guy like Derwin James, you just go, hey, if Derwin James is on the right side, here's how we're going to handle it. You know what I mean? Like, he dictates what you do from a protection standpoint. The majority, like, it's kind of like you would treat Micah Parsons with the Cowboys. Like, call him whatever position you want to call him. Until you're told different, we are going to slide our protection and gear our protection towards number 11. I don't give a damn where he's at. Now, if he moves late and we don't have time to adjust, that's on you. But, you know, you got to figure it out post-snap. But and we're not going to play around with IDing certain guys and slot notes. One guy, that guy right there, he's the priority, boom. To me, Derwin James, when it comes to blitzes, when it comes to secondary and adding extra defenders to the box and bringing pressure, obviously their defensive ends are a problem. You got to deal with those guys. But when it comes to who are we going to make a priority in protection, Derwin James, quarterback break the huddle. If Derwin James is deep, we're all good. If Derwin James is within 8 yards of the line of scrimmage, where is he at? You better have him accounted for, that's in protection or you've got a route to beat him. Because you don't let – if Derwin James surprises you, shame on your ass. If Derwin James surprises you, shame on you.
Yeah.
If Derwin James is on the right side of the line of scrimmage and he's up there flirting around with blitzing, and C.J. Stroud comes out and he's holding the ball, patting the ball, looking hard left, and never sees Derwin James hit him in the ear hole, that's on him and them coaches. That's a preparation. That's not a Derwin James thing. So he's a guy that should dictate what you do.
Yeah.
And I don't know the percentages, Ron, but I would imagine the percentages will tell you that.
Yeah. The player for the Texans on Saturday, he better do work. He better do work. His expectation, because of how good he is, says, I can take over this game. We'll discuss who that is coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
As Stroud, little play action to start. Good protection. Airs it out for Collins. He's got it. One play. Touchdown, Texans. 75 yards to start the night for number 7.
That is that was the big play there against the Colts. As it felt like that was their first national game last year. And right off the rip, 75 and a house call from Nico Collins, and he's continued last season's great breakout season, getting paid, and he's followed that up with another Pro Bowl season. Well, his first Pro Bowl season. And listen, the only thing that stopped him, to me, potentially being an All-Pro this year is just the injury. And he missed five and a half games, and he still got to 1,000 yards.
Yep.
And was still voted into the Pro Bowl. So Nico Collins has had an excellent season, especially when he's been out there top five in the league in yards per game when he's played. And to me, based off his play, and again, that's why it's so key what we talked about in the last segment is, boy, if they can just hold up a little bit blocking them. Based off what we've seen with the Chargers and with Nico Collins, players not only in his caliber – but also his size have really given the Chargers trouble. And for example, to me, you know, I look at it even as low as Drake London, who's not on his level, but he against the Chargers went 9 for 86. Higgins, another big target like him, went 9 for 141, a touchdown. Chase in the same game went 7 for 75 and 2 touchdowns. Mike Evans, another big body receiver, goes for 9 and 159, two touchdowns. Just last week, Jacoby Myers, they gave up 9 for 123 and two touchdowns. So they have given up yards to number one receivers on teams. And Clint, obviously if this game turns out like the Jets game or like the Packers game where CJ just couldn't even move and couldn't even function with the offensive line, that's a different thing. But as you've said, the last couple of weeks, they have been good enough. They have been better, and it hasn't just been a, man, they're getting their ass kicked just because they just can't block folks. They can't do stuff. Now, the run game, they can improve, but especially in the passing game. And to me, when you look at what Nico Collins, who has had an all-pro type season when he's played, and we see what problems the Chargers have had, this one to me is one where I feel like he can eat.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, absolutely it's one that you feel like he could eat. You'd like to think that he's one of the better ones in the league and should be able to eat any against any opponent. But the reality of it is that of late, I know he got to 1,000 yards, but of late, Nico Collins, defenses have found a way to slow him down. Defenses have found a way to limit his catches. Defenses have found a way to make it really, really difficult for him to get catches. I mean, he had a couple of touchdowns against – who was that at home? He had a couple of touchdowns. He went for 12 yards.
Oh, 17 yards.
17 yards. Four catches, 17 yards. He had two touchdowns. And they were
game
both,
against the Dolphins.
There you go. That's who it was, the Dolphins. And those were scramble drill touchdowns. And so teams, when he has been able to have success, teams have made him do it off script and off schedule. And so I don't know what that recipe is for defenses, but somehow they've cracked the code and figured out a way. Now, can the Texans counterpunch and figure out a way to get him the ball in various ways to make it, you know, to offset defense's ability to really focus on him? We'll see. That's one reason I think Deontay Johnson is so important this week.
Yeah.
I'd like to say that the run game, I would like to say that Dalton Schultz, but in reality, I'm looking for something that can is likely to happen, and I think Deontay Johnson could help relieve a little bit of that pressure off Nico Collins. But yeah, your point.
So you're not saying you don't think Nico's likely to happen. You don't think that's likely to happen? You don't think Nico having a big game is likely to happen?
Likely? No, it's not likely.
Really?
Well,
the way he's played all year,
he hadn't had a big game in over a month and a half. I mean, it's one of those where it's like I you know, the defenses have found a way to you know, to keep him out of from making those explosive plays and impacting a game in such a way. So, you know, this is a really, really good defense, man. I know they don't have the corner that can mirror him and take him out of the game.
Weak.
Maybe.
That's where they're weaker right there is in coverage, yeah. Especially the corners.
So I don't expect it to happen. Is it possible? Yeah. I mean, you look at C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins. That's what I'm hanging on to with just the simple fact that gives them a chance to win a playoff game. But I don't think any of it's likely versus this defense. This defense is a problem.
Yeah. From the text line here, Ron sounds like he needs to gargle some warm salt water.
What is going on over there?
Is that my boy,
or
Ron?
Take 100% tequila shot.
There you go, Hernier.
Does that work?
Does anybody? What kind of tequila shots are 50%? Does anybody take 50% tequila?
I say, is that a 75%er? I'll take it.
Get a hottie toddy.
Yeah. I don't know what just happened here. Something just crept up on me. Yeah.
I tell you, if old Mama Hog, if Linda was in the house, she'd tell you you need to get you a shot of Crown with some honey in it.
Hey, show.
Shot of Crown with some honey in it. That might work out. Yeah, maybe a shot of something.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a shot of something. Yeah, I don't know. That just crept up on me. No, I you know
like
what?
It sounds like it's still in there.
It's still in there. I'm gonna need probably the break.
You're gonna need a bathroom. You're gonna need a bathroom break to get this thing right.
Tapping that head like Anthony Richardson.
Hey man, allergies, sinus issues. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Oh, Dr. Matoran, baby.
Dr. Matoran.
Balloon cyanoplasty.
There you go. I'm glad he nicked that out of that read. That wore me out.
That word is a doozy.
No, the text line said, no, I definitely believe in Nico, too. Yeah, I'm almost going to be disappointed. Again, unless they just get engulfed and the front line takes over the game for the Chargers. But if that isn't the case, I'm almost going to be disappointed if Nico doesn't pick it up.
You should be. We should all be very
based off what we've seen this year.
Look, this is we should all be very disappointed if C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins don't go off in this game. I mean, this is what we've built to. We're 2 years into this thing. This is where this is where we're at. I mean, it's Bobby Slowick, it's C.J. Stroud, it's Nico Collins, it's Laremy Tunsil leading that off. Like, you should be very disappointed if the Texans don't perform well. We should be very disappointed if Dalton Schultz doesn't factor in this game somehow throughout the game, not just when you get down or just,
I'm not,
you know,
picking on that.
Well, I mean, those are all, you paid a guy $12 million. I mean, that's the reality of it is. If these guys don't perform in this situation, it's not Baltimore, it's not Kansas City, it's not going to Buffalo and playing in the snow. This is at home in your own backyard versus a very comparable team with a first year head coach that's we know is missing one, but could potentially be missing more than that from their offense. So we should be. Should be disappointed if those guys don't perform. Yeah. That's who we hope they are, and we've seen them be from time to time. Nico and CJ, we've seen them do big things and impact the game in a big way. We should be disappointed if they don't get it done.
I see on the text line, Black Greg just sent in a text, and we can get into this conversation right now. He asked me, would you trade Cam Whitmore? And we were kind of talking about the Rockets a bit yesterday as we are getting ready for this playoff game. But the Rockets – And I got a thought. If you are Rafael Stone, the man running the show there, if there's potential trade partners, who is the one guy that you're like, nope, not trading? You can have this, that, but the one guy for you on the Rockets that if they want to make a deal, make a move to get better, that you refuse to let go of. There are a lot of options. We'll talk about that. Coming up next.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Welcome back into The Drive. Before we get into the Rockets conversation, love for you to join us in it. And I see people have already got rolling here on the text line and YouTube and Twitch. Want to pass this across to you. It is official that Shaq Mason is out. The Texans have put their injury report out. Shaq Mason is out. Also, Clint, Danico Autry is questionable. Christian Harris is listed as questionable. John Mechie and Tegan Quatoriano are also listed as questionable. So that is the latest there with the injury report. Shaq Mason, we all heard it reported yesterday from Aaron Wilson. We talked about it earlier today. He is out officially for this game coming up. So there it is. And we'll look at the other guys. Autry with the knee, been in and out of practice. I'd imagine he's practiced the last 2 days. Clint, he should be good. So should Christian Harris as well as Tegan Quatoriano. So I would expect those guys, Mechie as well, would be able to go.
Yeah, look, I would expect them to go. But the ones that, you know, Christian Harris is number one on this list. Keep an eye on that. There has been back-to-back full practice days. So, as to your point, I think he's fine on that ankle, but keep an eye on that one. The other name on here for me that is still listed as questionable, as you said, is John Mechie. John Mechie, right now, you're down Tank Dell. You're down Steph Diggs. You know, you're really reliant on Deontay Johnson at this point with John Mechie. Without John Mechie, you're looking at a three wide receiver set of Deontay Johnson, Xavier Hutchinson, and Nico Collins. And the way they like to rotate guys through, the way they like to make sure guys are fresh in the fourth quarter, it's going to be hard as hell to do that, which it could end up being a good thing, is you can't take – we're not going to take Nico off the field, which is the way it should be come playoff time. If it's winner, when a winner or go home situation, his ass out to play 70 snaps. So, but the John Mechie situation there could get a little bit hairy. Did not practice Tuesday, was limited on Wednesday, and was full on a Thursday, which is a glorified walkthrough, run through, if you will. So, that could end up, that could be a little bit troublesome right there if something does go down before the game or early in the game with John Mechie.
And also on a positive note, Foley, Jeff Okuda, not even
big time
any designation, so they're going to go. Nothing.
Big time.
Nothing beside
there.
Their name.
You plug in what is one of your starting defensive tackles. You got to believe that's a plus versus the run. Aziz Al-Shaair being back. I know he's back last week, but that was limited action. Him being back after that Baltimore game is going to be big right there. And then Jeff Okuda, in terms of the secondary. What all can you do with the secondary? How much can you move Kamari Lassiter around? How much can you move Derek Stingley around? You need that third cover defender, and I think the best one they have available when healthy is Jeff Okudah. Love or hate it, that's where they're at. So him being healthy allows them some flexibility that I think is going to be critical in this game as well. Could be. We'll see how the Chargers injuries wrap up here, you know, going into the game.
And I would say mostly good news for the Texans here. Obviously,
yep.
The Shaq Mason loss is not as big as it would have been last year earlier in the season. All right, as we are here live, Buffalo Wild Wings, make your way out. Cypress location will be here until 6 o'clock. Got a chance to win autographed football from Tank Dell, autographed helmet from Derek Stingley Jr. You can win that. We've already had a winner today in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll be hooking somebody else up in the 4 o'clock hour. So stay tuned with that. If you're here, fill your name out. Put it in our raffle box. If you're on the way, you might want to do the same. All right. We talked a little bit about the Rockets yesterday, and I see some people rolling in with their thoughts. And I would say if you got one person, I think there is at the very least conversations and discussions that the Rockets are having with teams. Don't know if they're going to make a move. When you hear the Jimmy Butler rumors, I don't think that means that, hey, no, it's just not happening at all. No, they're not talking. I think there are some conversations. And they have a lot of young pieces and a lot of young pieces that teams would look at it and would want. And I'm posing to you, and you can jump in and give us your thoughts. Some of you on YouTube and Twitch have already done it, but you can give us your thoughts there. Some of you on the text line have. Who would be the guy that you're like, I'm out of this. We're not doing this deal. I'm not trading you. I think some potential guys on that list is, you know, Jalen Green, Shingun, Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith. These are all young high draft picks. Cam Whitmore. And I know Black Greg asked that on the text line. Eason as well. Then you got the older guys, Brooks and Van Fleet. I would be shocked if any of you are saying, no, I can't move on from those guys. But those are guys that would be in the conversation. Is there? And maybe there's nobody. Maybe all of their asses would be on for the right move. Is there anybody that you're like, nope, no go, can't trade?
I think right now where we see it today, I got them all on the block.
No, you would do it. There's nobody that would stop.
There's nobody that not for the. I mean,
now obviously we're talking about Jokic, something, but I'm talking about more realistic.
I mean, we're talking about moves that make you a contender. We're talking about moves that bring in a surefire superstar in the NBA, a guy that gives you an option down the stretch against anybody in the playoffs, not just a regular season group that's playing well together. To me, it's anybody. I mean, anybody's on the table. Now, look, you can't have four of them, but I mean, to me, if you need a headliner of a deal to go get a veteran that's a superstar, it's any of them for me. My list would start, if I had to make a list, it would start with Thompson, and Shingun would be second. Beyond that, you can move whoever you want.
You just made the list.
As I look here on the text line, keep them in, keep Green, keep Shingun, and the two Aussie bigs. Okay.
Here, can I ask you a question on that?
Yeah.
When you're talking Green, like we're talking about making a move, we're making a move for a player that gets you buckets, and that's going to be I would guess, either a primary ball handler or a guy that is better touching in the rotation damn near every time down in critical situations.
You're talking about a guy that can be a one or a two. Yes.
Yes. So what does, if that's the case, is Jalen Green worth whatever you think he may be? Like not moving. Like if he's here and he's playing second fiddle to somebody, is that the best for him and best for the team that he's on?
Yeah, I mean, depending on who the person is. Like, if you trade for a big, yeah, I would like it, but he wouldn't stop me from going. So if you're asking me, no, Jalen Green is not on my list. He wouldn't stop me. It's only one player for
who's
me.
That? You said it yesterday.
It's Amen Thompson.
Yeah.
He is the only one for me that I'd be hesitant. And if Amen Thompson is going, man, like, Clint, it's got to be Giannis. Like, it's got to be, and obviously that's going to be, it's got to be one of the top,
right,
top dudes. Like, De'Aaron Fox coming here, or even Devin Booker, for me, it isn't enough to say I'm going to let Amen Thompson go, because I don't know that Amen Thompson could be a one, but I do think Amen Thompson could be a great two or three on a championship level team, and he just can do so many things that it's hard to find. And I've had this conversation with Brandon Scott multiple times. If he could ever develop a shot, oh hell! Somebody texted and said Cam Whitmore. Like Cam or not, Cam a lot. Cam would have his ass on. All right, I would have him. But Shingun, Jalen Green, none of those guys are guys where I'm like, I know, I just don't think that Shingun's going to turn into Jokic, right? And that's who you compare. And I think he's got a great skill set. I'd love him to be along with another lead guy, but he wouldn't stop me. Like, I don't. Amen Thompson's the one. Jabari Smith, I've seen enough to where I'm like, he can move. So, Amen Thompson is the only one to me where this thing's got, as I said, it's got to be top five player-like.
Yeah. I'm good with any of them. All of them are on the block for me.
You would.
But if I had to make a list, if you forced me to make a list, it would be Amen Thompson. I like Shingun simply because he's not a guy that is a – you know, needs the ball in his hands 24/7. To me, when I look at Jalen Green, like, Jalen Green is not going to be a good two or three on a team if he's not handling the ball all the time. To your point, if it's a big that you move for, then he's still handling the ball. But is he still bringing the same value to the table as a two or three option? He strikes me as a dude. It's either feast or famine. He's either going to be a one somewhere handling the rock, jacking up shots, and getting it done, or he's not going to be.
Black Greg, Amen and Tari Eason are two guys that I would keep. Green gets buckets. What are you? I don't know what you're trying to say, but quit smoking, Clint.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Green gets buckets. We are young. Quit smoking, Clint. No, there ain't no smoking. Maybe you're smoking a little bit. There ain't nothing about him that's been consistent. There is nothing about Jalen Green where you're like, man, I know I can depend on him. He gets buckets sometimes.
Yeah.
He was inspired against the Lakers. Then he might get 13, 12, 14. Like, he is the frustrating one, right, that rides you there. So, I can completely understand why he would be included in something. Completely understand. All right, as we are here live, continue to hang with us live from Buffalo Wild Wings here in Cypress. You can get you a Swarm towel. Hopefully all of you here have got you a Swarm towel. Get you a koozie. Make sure you remember, put your name in our raffle box, because we are going to be hooking somebody else up with a prize in the 4 o'clock hour. I'll say it'll be the autograph helmet. The autograph helmet from Derek Stingley Jr. We'll save Tank for the 5 o'clock hour. Autograph helmet, Derek Stingley Jr. All I got to do is put your name in that white raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win. What you got coming up at the 4?
Bobby Slowick. We heard Bobby Slowick in full here on the station yesterday. I did a little bit of digging, and I got a couple of pieces of audio from Bobby Slowick that I think will give us a little peek at behind the curtain, if you will, into this playoff game. A little bit of good, but there's plenty of bad to find, but there's a little bit of good Bobby Slowick, Texans offensive coordinator, coming up next right here on Sports Radio 610.